Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a lean and, well, not so mean, because these are nice guys I got with me today. A lean and, what's the opposite of mean, but rhymes with lean? Quick, ambush topic to open things up.
Clean?
Lean and clean Friday Filibuster. Thank you, yeah. Mr. Newspaper Editor. That is, of course, Judge Mac McIntyre.
Mac. Hello.
Hello, and Chief Honcho Big Cheeserama, Michael Staley.
Hi.
Yes, and so I dragged Michael kicking and screaming on board. So you listeners should be grateful that we got him, that we got him here. So, like I said, we've got our regulars are kind of off on vacation or sabbatical. We'll call it sabbatical. And, so it's just going to be three of us killing a small amount of time for a weekend. I doubt we'll hit the epic hour plus stature of other Friday filibusters. So we'll just kind of have a good time, keep it low key. I was thinking, you know, Michael, if I couldn't convince you, this may have been like Mac and I would have just riffed on Willow and Ben 10 for a half an hour. One of these days. That, I mean, I could talk. That's fine with me, but we'll see. So, I guess we'll start with you, Michael. Haven't connected with you in a bit. What's new?
Not a whole lot. Still working on getting the site relaunch ready to go.
How's that smelling these days?
So far, so good. There's a lot of just small, technical, boring detail stuff that we're going through, converting databases and all that wonderful stuff. It's going to be a bit of a hair-pulling nightmare, but from a visual standpoint and from a schedule standpoint, we all look pretty good. So,
and we definitely see some hints of what's to come on the Verdict front page with the daily Verdict. You know, you get a sense of the design and you get a sense of kind of the, you know, the URL, the new home base we're looking at.
Yeah, just trying to tease out a little bit. You'll see a lot more as we get closer. So we're still a good, you know, 6 weeks out.
Now, who chose the top five summer camp movies that are listed on the front page?
Oh, that was just me.
Nice. Well, kudos for One Hot American Summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well played.
That's
great.
Those guys just got greenlit for another show. It's like a sci-fi show. Reno 911 guys.
Yeah, yeah. And I did see, are some of those state guys too behind the Children's Hospital on Adult Swim? I know Ken Marino was on there.
Marino is.
And David Wayne directs, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. We actually turned down an opportunity to do a set visit with them when Melissa was here. And I'm kind of sorry that we did. Our schedule was just kind of crazy. But that looks like a sick show. Those guys are nuts.
What, Children's Hospital?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Yeah. Like, who knows? Yeah, it's probably ridiculous. I'll say ridiculous.
Yeah. If you've seen any of the Adult Swim promos, you can just get a sense of how weird those guys are.
So, yeah, I very much like that Wet Hot American Summer. It's very good. Now, Bradley Cooper was in that, right? I think so. Wasn't he the counselor? Wasn't he Ian Black's lover?
God.
that shocking, that out of nowhere love scene.
Oh my God.
I think that was.
I think going back, looking with for as hot as he is right now, you'd be surprised if some of the stuff that he was in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a long haul. And Meatballs number two. That's that's certainly, you know, some interesting memories. It does have like one of the worst soundtracks if I ever remember. There's like an awful song in that.
There's a couple awful songs.
Do you remember? I mean, it was just like so awful and shrill, singing about like the poor loser homesick kid.
Oh,
it was the worst.
Wow.
Worst.
I mean, yeah, that was kind of like raw Bill Murray.
Yeah, I mean, and he like, yeah, it was like Bill Murray riffing it. That was fine with me.
Yeah.
So. And again, I like The Great Outdoors. Very good. One of my favorites.
Yeah, not quite technically a summer camp, but it was the summer resort type of thing. And it's one of my personal favorites, so I had to put it in there.
Yeah, Great Outdoors is good stuff.
And Sleepaway Camp on there, too, for the great.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Super twist ending on that one.
Yes. Absolutely.
Memorable there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That image is forever burned into my brain.
It is. It's an awful image. It really is. It's awful.
They've done what? 3-4 sequels to that movie?
Yeah, those lost steam very fast. I mean, you can't really go beyond that. I don't know, you know? It's just like that whole movie is so iconic because of that last scene, so.
Right. Yeah. They tried. They brought back, or they didn't bring back, but they cast Bruce Springsteen's sister. as Android.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh my God.
That's right. That's right. I remember that. Adam's Family Values. I always thought the Adam's Family movies were kind of underrated.
You know? Oh, but that camp scene with Christina Ricci and David Krumholtz.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Christine Baranski.
The stage play.
The Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving stage play. What's her face? Mercedes McNabb, a young.
That's right.
A young pre-implant Mercedes McNabb.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's just a classic bit of
cinema. Now, would Friday the 13th qualify as a summer camp movie?
You know what? It would, and it came down to a choice between that and Sleepaway Camp.
I think the Sleepaway Camp, that's the hip choice, so I like that. That's good.
Although, you know, as this airs, it is, in fact, Friday the 13th.
That's true. It is.
Oh, freaky. All right, ready? Quick Friday the 13th ambush topic. Favorite either Jason death or resurrection?
Oh, okay. That's a tricky one.
Who's the one on the spaceship?
Oh, that's Jason X.
Jason X. Yeah. I never saw that one. How did he get resurrected and or killed in that one?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, the scientists captured him, and I think they cryogenically froze him.
Course.
And then he woke up.
That's a fantastic idea. What a great use of taxpayer funds.
Jason meets alien. Ripley shows up.
I'm going to go with, I think it's Jason Takes Manhattan. Just the dumbest Jason resurrection ever. And it's my favorite because it's so stupid. It's when like lightning strikes and it travels down into the lake and it just manages to hit the Jason corpse and boom, he's back.
No, it's the boat is going by and it catches the electric cable.
Oh.
And sends the sparks.
Thank
and
you.
That's what brings him back in part 8.
Well, that's even worse, actually. That's even lamer. Thank you for the correction. That's good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's either part 6 is the lightning bolts, I think.
Okay.
How did they bring him back for the one with Freddy? Because I didn't see that one.
He was in hell. He was trapped. He was in hell, right?
Oh, okay.
Oh, they brought him back. Yeah. It was.
He was running around in hell, killing people.
Freddy was the one that brought him back.
And that doesn't seem like a very good hell for Jason. He's doing what he wants. You know, he's running around killing people. You know, that's hell should be like, I don't know. He's constantly being evaluated by medical professionals or something. How about you, Mac? You got a favorite Jason death or resurrection?
Going back to Takes Manhattan. When at the end he's in the sewer, you know, in Vancouver. I mean Manhattan. He's running around the sewer, and the toxic waste pours all over him.
Oh.
And when the toxic waste floods away, he's gone back to – it's transformed him into a little kid again. So he's young.
Of course.
Before all the killing started. So.
Toxic waste never has the effect you think it would. You know, it either de-ages a kid or turns turtles into ninja warriors.
Right.
You know? Like the only realistic portrayal of toxic waste is in RoboCop, I think. Yeah.
Well, there's a franchise we haven't seen a reboot for is Troma's Toxic Avenger. I mean, aside from the stage.
Stage performance, right. That's right. There is a new Troma movie coming out. I haven't heard much from those guys. We still got stuff from them?
Not so much. They've kind of slowed up.
Huh.
Their release schedule isn't so great anymore.
I don't know if they've just been smacked up.
They came out with a couple of Blu-rays, like Tromeo and Juliet had a Blu-ray not long ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Poltergeist, I think, had a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Which is very, you know, Poltergeist is a good trauma movie for sure. All right, well, this is already a filibuster jam packed full of digressions. So, all right, so Mac, how about you? You got anything happening?
We already did one on the list. Here. I was going to riff on Friday the 13th, but let's see what else. I finally got around to seeing Inception a second time.
All right, did the second viewing give you? Did it kind of satisfy any questions, or did it bring things into focus?
Kind of yes or no. We won't go into spoilers here, but I'm still getting a good but not great vibe from the movie, which I know is kind of sacrilege with considering how much everyone loves it, but that's kind of where I'm at with it. Although I will say that one good thing, though, is that seeing it a second time, that really crazy sort of head-spinning first 10 minutes makes a lot more sense now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Did you end up seeing it, Mike?
I did.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Just Nolan is continues to impress and amaze me with what he's able to do. just the gravitas that he brings to film and kind of the 70s grittiness that you don't see much anymore.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I still, you know, my default, just because I'm a simple-minded plebeian, I just default to the kick-ass action that he's able to put on screen. Yeah. And so complex, but you follow it so easily. You know, he really just draws you into it.
Real master in the editing room of taking these crazy narratives and splicing them together so that they work so well. You know, everything from Memento to this, the big finale in Inception, to a lot of the big action scenes in the Batman movies, he's done them all so well.
Nice. Well, let's see. For me, Mac, I forgot to bring this up last week, but I there was a sale at Best Buy, and for $8, I got the Monster Squad on Blu-ray.
Sweet.
And I haven't even opened it yet, so I haven't get around to watching it. For some reason, I've been watching a lot of Numbers and Trauma.
Yeah, I wonder why.
My time has been consumed with that for some weird reason.
Well, thank you for taking the bullet. I appreciate that.
No problem. But yeah, I have actually... I guess I could talk about Trauma. Did you guys see? Do you remember this show, Trauma?
No, very short lived.
Yeah. Just recently, right? The big Jerry.
Is it canceled? Did they give it the old axe? Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's like the big angle here was like cinematic disasters, you know?
Right.
And they had that. You know, they burned through some visual effects, but once you get past it, it's just kind of like another medical show, you know, with stereotype characters and. I don't know, so I kind of didn't... I mean, I'm actually surprised that they turned 20-odd episodes out of it, so...
Well, and you know what the scary thing is? The rumor is going around town right now that for this coming fall... Not this coming fall, but the following mid-season and the fall after is that they're all looking at medical dramas again as being the hot property. I know, it's so ridiculous.
I mean, like, House. I like House. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean... Medical or like the law lawyer dramas, just enough.
Well, they're getting rid of the Law and Order type stuff that they're kind of sick of that, so now they're moving back into medical dramas again. Which, I'm with you. I'm tired of this crap.
There's just so much, isn't there? Just, I mean, how many different ways can we have?
I know.
Two people cry over the relationship over an open body cavity. Do we need? You know, I mean.
Well, and like you were saying about this particular show, how everything every week is some major disaster.
Yeah.
It's San Francisco, right? That it's constantly blowing up.
Yes. I believe in my review I wrote it makes Tikrit look like a vacation destination.
Yeah, right.
Everything had just humongous plane crashes and freeway explosions and helicopters.
I mean, come on.
And, I mean, yeah, it's pretty nutty.
But
so.
That's the thing, though, with more medical shows, they're all going to be trying to, like, one-up each other with the crises and the emotion and the lives on the line. And,
yeah.
Right.
And it's just, but like I said, it's just all stereotype characters. Like, there's the fresh-faced rookie, you know, and the sarcastic blonde bombshell veteran who puts him in his place, and the envelope-pushing hotshot. You know, and I mean, they even have like two partners. You know, one partner comes, you know, they're first responders, and he comes out of the closet to his partner, and he spends like the rest of the episode, like the rest of the series, like lecturing him. And, you know, so the other partner is obviously a caveman idiot. You know, it's like he doesn't understand anything about anything. And so that's like, great. Now we have to, you know, it's like these are just total stereotypes, you know, so.
Well, and the thing is that they continue to put money behind these types of shows and don't give shows an opportunity, like going back to Firefly or Tim Minear's Drive or, you know, something that's a little off the wall that needs time to find an audience.
Right.
That they don't, you know, they have a very quick hook that they pull these shows with, and yet they'll let this crap fly forever.
Yeah. Yeah, but then again, though, I mean, so you named two Fox shows there, you know.
That's true.
And, you know, I think, you know, Fox does get a lot of guff, but they do a Terminator show, or they'll do, you know, they'll do Dollhouse. I mean, talking about as far as crime procedurals and medical dramas, I mean, the big three networks kind of indulge in that crap, you know? So, it's a double-edged sword, you know? It's like, you get cool stuff with Fox, or even the CW, you'll get something cool and interesting, you know? But then, they're very short, they're very quick with the trigger.
Well, it'll be interesting because we've seen some major change in the executives at ABC. Steve McPherson just left, and NBC just now, too. So who wonder going into the next season, not this season's pretty much set, but you know, the next season, whether or not we're going to see some difference.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're scrambling to fill kind of the lost void. Like, isn't that show The Event? Isn't that that's something, right? That's
yeah, they're promoting the hell out of it.
Yeah, they're getting a lost hype behind that. So,
of course, I got to give it up for my favorite show, Castle, on ABC.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
But no, it was great. You know, it was kind of not a lot of attention paid to it for the first season, but they took a chance on the second season, and it's really starting to take off. And
I'm going
to
take your recommendation. I think we might take a look at that. Mac.
It's really a lot of fun. You talk about police procedurals, but this one, it takes you know, a lighter approach, really sharp dialogue, really fun characters.
So. Definitely. And again, I'll since we're trumpeting our personal favorite shows, can't wait for Fringe Season 2 to hit Blu-ray so we can watch that. Because we really got into the first one. So, you know, that's another show that, you know, from what I hear, really went nutty in the second season. You know, just really got into mythology. And it was pretty cool. So,
well, and there's another case of a network giving a show time to find an audience and find its
that's
legs.
Right.
And,
that's right. You know. So, I mean, yeah, again, that's Fox, too. So, thankfully,
yeah.
I mean, with Abrams kind of behind that, I'm sure that had some.
True.
You know, that had some push. And, they had a pretty strong cast. But, again, I would highly recommend Fringe. Can't wait to watch. You know, can't wait to get into season two once it hits Blu-ray. Of course, I don't like. They're releasing these shows. Like days before season three premieres,
you know?
I mean, what do they expect from us? You know, hey, give it to us in August. You know, let us because there's nothing on TV in August. That's when you should do it. So
well, and I was hoping we'd have a little time to review Lost because they're going to send both season six and the complete series, but the ABC hasn't sent either one of them over yet. And from what I understand, they're still waiting for a release date. I mean, they have one in mind, but in terms of providing product to media outlets, they haven't decided yet.
All right. Well, a good little TV discussion there as we get prepped for going into the season. Actually, I'll ask you guys real quick. What are you looking forward to? Either it's a new show or a returning show this coming season. I mean, it is August, almost the middle of August, which is ridiculous. But Mike, anything grab your fancy right now?
Well, NBC just sent over a stack of pilots that have the label "not for review" on them. So I don't know what they actually gave us them for, but
eBay, obviously. Yeah,
oh God, no, we get sued.
I probably shouldn't even joke about that. I think the Patriot Act has provisions in it that we mentioned on a podcast.
Yeah, they're probably tracing our calls as we record right now.
The threat matrix. Remember that show? Threat matrix.
Red flag. No, there's a show called The Undercovers that has been getting
Abrams,
some interesting.
Right? That Abrams?
Yeah, he's tied to that, so I'm curious to check that out.
All right. Mac, how are you?
Yeah, like I said, you know, third season of Castle is probably my number one. But beyond that, I'm not sure. There was this show that was it No Ordinary Family?
Yeah, Michael Chiklis.
I thought it was interesting, but then I learned he was in it, and now it's on the boycott list. So
it's on the what? The boycott.
Yeah. It's that Fantastic Four thing.
He was in Fantastic Four.
You got to give it a rest, man. Give it a rest. Okay? The man's body of work in The Shield is fantastic. That overcompensates for the crap and, you know, or the other guy. Horatio Hornblower is a great miniseries. Don't punish him. You can punish Jessica Alba if you want.
Well, there's a little mini digression that we can talk about. Have either one of you guys seen the promo stuff for either Captain America or Thor yet?
I've only heard the stuff from Joe Johnson about Captain America, how they're not making him this flag-waving guy, you know? Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, I mean, it's, like, I understand the whole global thing, you know? I understand holding hands and, you know, drinking Coke, I understand that. But, but I mean, it's like... I mean, it's just difficult to – it's Captain America, you know. It's just it's in his name. He's you know, it's like he is a go America guy, right? I don't know. I mean, you may know the comics more. So it's just like – that's a little – I mean, it's just like why do you have to – you know, why would you kind of say it that way? I mean, is it that offensive to make him Captain America. I don't know.
Well, the first movie is the 40s, you know, before he gets lost and frozen kind of thing.
Yeah, it's so, Nazis. Everyone hates Nazis. Can it be rah-rah American, die Nazi, die, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about both of these pictures, and Thor especially with some of the stills and
stuff
that I'm seeing. I'm concerned that they're going to really screw the pooch on this one.
Can you really make a live-action Thor, though? You know, is that one of, really, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, if they take the real sort of, you know, high fantasy approach.
Lord of the Rings kind of. Yeah.
But he is going to be on Earth for part of it, hanging out with Natalie Portman. So.
But this is all laying the groundwork for the Avengers movie, right?
I know. And if these flop, then you're not going to have much to work with for Joss Whedon there.
That's true. Interesting to see. Yeah. I see. I guess what I'm looking forward to, I did mention Fringe, but you know, I have to say that I am looking forward to, and a couple years back, I would have been shocked to hear myself say this, but the final season of Smallville.
Really?
When you sent me season 8 to review, whatever that was, I was one of like, oh great, another little surprise for me, you know. but we ended up getting into it and enjoying it, and I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. But it was good because it starts you at the whole year. You kind of start with Lois Lane, Superman, Metropolis stuff. So you bypass all the Dawson's Creek on the farm crap, you know.
Okay.
So
right.
So we got into season 8. I mean, it was still kind of a little rocky here and there. Watched season 9 as a broadcast. You know, got into that. Liked the whole, you know, so there's some Zod stuff. They really developed more of the Superman mythology. But this is the final season, season 10. It's going to be Darkseid, who I guess is a pretty big badass, yes. So
he's serious business.
Serious business, yes. Hopefully they do a better job than they did with Doomsday in season 8, where it was like 20 seconds of awful CGI fighting after season build-up. They did rectify that. They had a pretty sweet showdown with Zod and Clark at the end of season 9. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how. I mean, they know it's the last season. They got an end game to plot. You know, are we going to see him flying around? We've gotten into it, and it's something
they've done a bunch of Justice League type stuff too.
They had the Justice Society stuff. It's there's some good things. It was well done. I mean, I'm certainly not as familiar with the whole Superman universe. I mean, I'm not a huge comic guy anyway, but you know, it definitely was cool and well executed. So I don't know. I've been looking forward to that. Actually, I was watching some of, some of the Comic-Con footage. You know, they did a preview for season 10, and it looks like they're doing some good stuff. So interesting.
And what can you expect from Supernatural this season?
That is like the wild card. I'm actually probably looking forward more to Smallville now than Supernatural.
Okay.
And I do love Supernatural, and maybe it's because, you know, the finale didn't really nail me to the wall like I was hoping it would. I just didn't really deliver as much as I thought it would. But I hear it should be pretty fun. I guess you're going to see a lot of kind of Monster of the Week stuff. Would you like?
You get a new I did. That was my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. So it looks like, I mean, it's literally monsters. They're looking at monsters. So
okay.
I'm not sure how that fits into an arc, but they're keeping some of the characters. Eric Kripke is, but he's still involved, though, creatively.
Okay.
Sarah Gamble's not a showrunner. Yeah, Sarah Gamble's a showrunner. I mean, you know, Bette Endland's still an executive producer, so you're still going to have some of those quirky, fun episodes, which are really the closest I've seen to, like, the Whedonverse stuff. You know, genuinely, it's like, you know, a lot of flashback to some of my favorite Angels season 5 episodes, you know. So actually looking at both of those shows, but actually, I'm actually looking forward to Smallville, just because you know that the end's coming, and they've been going towards this point for 9 years, you know, so it'll be interesting to see. So, new stuff, I don't know, Hawaii 5-0, what do you think?
No? I'm actually looking forward to it. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, they got some. It looks like it's got some good energy behind it. I don't know what that means, but you know, I don't know. That's my boilerplate. It's my boilerplate non-committal criticism. It's got great energy. Yeah.
Well, and I was a fan of the original series, so I'm curious to see what they do with it. I mean, they've got a great group of people behind it, you know, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And I know there's been some criticism about Alex O'Loughlin doing the Jack Lord thing, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Definitely. Always nice to see Daniel Day-Kim get some work, too.
Yep. And Grace Park from Battlestar.
Oh, yes. possible you might get a Grace Park bikini overload. So I mean, she weighs like 50 pounds, but she is very, very attractive. All right. Well, nice little opening discussion. Anything? Could we quickly say anything we're working on for the site? Mike, have you been watching anything? Had time to see anything?
I haven't. The only thing I've been doing is in my downtime from working on other stuff, I've been catching up on Venture Brothers reruns. I've been DVRing. So, and I'm getting them in weird fits and spurts from different seasons because Cartoon Network doesn't have a great, you know, rerun schedule.
That's how I caught up on it, too.
Yeah.
Nice. And that season 4 is looming, I believe, right?
Is it?
I think I saw a trailer for it, so it's got to be somewhere in the nearby orbit. So we'll see.
There's some really good stuff in there.
So good,
especially
yeah.
The later, you know, the second, third season, especially.
Absolutely, great stuff.
And Ben Edlund's associated in that too.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, excellent, excellent stuff for sure. I always love the Visitor, the Intergalactic Visitor. Do you remember that episode?
I don't think I've seen that yet.
It's great. He just shows up and he's the Observer. It's just this loud,
like intrusive,
loud, intrusive robot. Like, he's just tagging along with them, annoying everybody. it's like he just keeps screaming, "Ignore me!"
No, I just got through watching the big two-part event where the what was it the something at Cremation Creek or something?
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
Showdown at Cremation.
Yes, that's it was genius.
Yes, and David Bowie, right? Isn't he?
Yes, David Bowie. Celebrity voice impersonated.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
It's the Sovereign. Yeah, there's some good stuff.
That's right. Phantom Limb.
But that's about it. No new reviews for me to tackle at this point. Not all enough right. time.
Understood. Mac.
Yeah, we mentioned again going on with the whole Adult Swim thing. I finished up a review earlier this week for Titan Maximum, the first season.
Oh yeah.
From the people who made Robot Chicken. This is kind of their follow-up series. But it's not like sketch comedy. It's a spoof of the giant piloted robot subgenre. Of a group of young people who, you know, drive these space jets who, you know, form together to form a giant robot and they fight crime. But the comedy of it is that they act like actual, you know, teenagers or, you know, early 20s and so you're like jerks to each other and they're all, you know, horny and just want to party all the time. So they don't really do a whole lot of world saving, or when they try to, they kind of make a mess of it. It's some pretty funny stuff. It's a little kind of on the mean-spirited comedy side of things, but, you know, if that's what you're in the mood for, it's some great stuff.
All right.
That's an action-adventure vein. I don't see the major networks tapping anytime soon. That old Japanese, you know, Power Rangers, Voltron, you know, Battle of the Planets type of thing.
Right. let's see. Well, hey, nothing really. I mean, I talked about trauma. I mean, I don't need to talk about numbers. You know, whatever. Chow Down, a little documentary, another little surprise that landed on my doorstep, like a little, like an abandoned newborn. It's kind of like a Food Inc. type of documentary. And, you know, speaking of which, I got Food Inc. as well from you. So I don't know if Michael's trying to tell me if I'm just turning into a fat, oldest bastard. And
just looking it up for Bridget, you know.
Thank you, yes. Yeah, you're prolonging your father's life. That's very. But anyway, so it's just, you know, it's one of, like, if you eat bad crap, you're going to die, you know. And it's like, it's just tough because, I mean, it's one of those things, like, people know about, you know, you know that, you know? Yeah. It's like, it'd be like a half hour, it's like an hour and a half cigarette documentary. And if you smoke a lot of cigarettes, it'll suck for you. You know, so, I mean, they add insult to injury when they just show, like, all these food documentaries show the bad food, but it looks delicious. You know? Like, giant ice cream cones and delicious cheeseburgers, so... So it doesn't. It just encourages my appetite. So
right, it makes you hungry. Yeah,
yeah, it makes me hungry. Yeah. So I was eating some pork rinds and porterhouses while I was watching that. Just packing away the Doritos. So yeah. So
I love the line that you said about obesity being an epidemic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sick of that. Anyone else? Talk about digressions. Can we stop it with calling obesity epidemic? I mean, you know, like. You know, Ebola, you know, the bubonic plague, right?
Bird flu, right.
Bird flu, epidemic, you know? the crap they have to deal with in the Congo 24/7, epidemic, you know? It does a disservice to the word epidemic. Stuffing your face, you know, with a KFC double down does not count as an epidemic. So don't give me that. Thank you, Mike. That got me going on my little.
Dave, you could always go back to that vegetarian disc review.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Raw the food. That's right.
The raw food. Yeah.
That's raw. That was one of my favorites. How all of a sudden you can stop war. And
by eating raw food.
And global warming and genocide and everything by eating raw food, yeah. it was great. And then I love the recipes, you know, making raw pizza, you know, in the dehydrator. You know, it only takes 28 hours to make. I mean, it looks like, the finished project looks like someone ran over a Muppet with a van, so... Oh, man. So keep those food documentaries coming. That's what I'm saying. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
That is the niche that I'm filling. But
When we take a look at the upcoming releases list, you'll see that we're kind of in those dog days.
I already saw it this week, definitely.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, and this is a segue, Mac, for you know, as we get into our upcoming releases, I see that Dexter the 4th season's coming out. Did we not get that?
We have not gotten it yet. I'm not sure. I have to get a hold of Paramount and Showtime and see what's going on.
Okay, bad pun alert, but I am dying to see that. I'm a giant Dexter fan, and I've already spoiled a part of it, but it's been a heroic effort to try to avoid getting stuff spoiled for me. So,
yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've been watching it, you know, new on DVD, and longing to see what happens in this.
Bummer. I was hoping.
I still have season 2 sitting here that I haven't watched yet. So,
my favorite season.
I think that was a very good one, though. I still think each season gets better and better. I like right now, season 3 is my favorite. I like season 3 a great deal just because Jimmy Smits is on fire in that season. I
mean, that was John Lithgow, too, right?
No, that's season 4.
That's season 4. Yeah. Okay.
So, all right. Oh, I was hoping we'd get that. All right. Well, we'll see.
All right.
See, that's why I brought you on here, just just so when we get it, I can call first dibs.
No, nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
Or you can have furry vengeance if you want,
which shares a lot in common with Dexter, I think. All right, Max. So go ahead.
Yeah, we're practically here already, but we're gonna go to DVDverdict.com. We're gonna click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And we're going to go to the cover art gallery for August 7th. And already you can see right there is Dexter and Furry Vengeance.
August 17th, right?
What? 17th.
Yes. And Furry Vengeance, thank you. What does it take to... What do you have to be to want to take part in a movie called Furry Vengeance, you know? And no, you can't use that as the inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week.
Blackmail pictures of Brendan Fraser?
I think so.
Yeah.
What else do we have here?
There's a lot of good hype surrounding The Good, the Bad, the Weird, which Mac reviewed, correct?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Just real cool action movie.
I want to check that out as well. Much again, thanks to your recommendation.
But no, we're really in that period now between the end of the summer where the studios still want you to go to the theaters, and we're not yet into the overwhelming amount of television on DVD that's going to be hitting us within the next 4 to 6 weeks. So we get things like Combatives for Street Survival, Volumes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, not nearly as good as that Israeli self-defense DVD.
Krav Maga.
Krav Maga. Krav Maga, I love it.
Although there's two old guys beating the crap out of each other in Chinatown Jeet Kune Do.
Yes, yeah.
They're not even looking at each other as they're fighting.
No.
Scrolling down a bit, again, talking about TV series that I really passionately dislike. Ugly Betty.
And it's done.
It is done, but my wife likes it. I just hate that show. It's just so contrived. It just tries to be cool and clever with its annoying soundtrack and stupid character who doesn't realize that you need to just take off your glasses, you know, and you look like $1 million like every other Saved by the Bell episode teaches you. Hey, look, Dead or Alive on Blu-ray because people had wanted it so badly.
Yeah, the demand.
Yeah, that movie stunk.
That's the one right where the villain has the magic sunglasses.
Ugh, I can't remember. I reviewed it, too. I can't remember.
He downloads, like, all the world's martial arts knowledge into his sunglasses and puts the sunglasses on, and that's what makes him the greatest fighter ever.
There you go. Wow.
But right next to that is Drive-In Cult Classics, 32 movies.
Holy crap. Wow. Did we get that?
No, we haven't gotten that.
32. Oh.
Yeah, people don't think about when we sit down to do a collection of, you know, that has five or six, and you've done some of those image ones like the Sword and Sandal things that has like 10 movies on there.
Yeah, but
32?
That's amazing.
Good Lord.
Yeah, the, man, what was that one that, yeah, like, yeah, the Sword and Sandal ones had a lot.
Yeah.
Those are actually kind of fun.
The Hercules type of things.
Yeah, yes. Like the old Italian shirtless buff dudes running around
right.
Speaking in poorly dubbed English.
Right. If you want to cleanse your palate, you can always go for GED Mathematics Made Easy. You know, if you didn't have your high school degree, you can always...
And that's a three-disc set right there.
Yeah, that'll keep you busy for a while. But Tom reviewed Keeping Up with the Kardashians for us for season 3.
Yeah.
And Dave, I have to say, he's ranking up there with you with one of the funniest.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. We always want to highlight those quirky reviews that, you know, people may not think of. So what is it? Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What's with all the Slayer discs on here? There's at least like 3 different Slayer releases.
I don't know.
Different having some kind of anniversary or something, or a new CD coming out, or
maybe.
How about Mona the Vampire, the kids show? Really? We've got to that point now.
We actually have that. If you'd like me to send that over to you, you can take a look.
You have that?
Yeah, little kindergarten goth thing going on. Yeah.
Oh, that looks kind of disturbing, actually. What? Look at her eyes.
There's nothing not disturbing about it. She's a freaking vampire. That, you know.
Did the cat, like, claw her eyes?
I mean, there's no cute alternative. Even if she drinks, you know, rat blood, that's still awful and disgusting and disturbing.
You got a little Clockwork Orange thing going on there with keeping the eyes open.
It looks like two spiders crawling on her face. I can't believe vampire kid shows, you know. I mean... Are we going to have, like, you know, Sarah the Satanist?
Well, things like Vampire Diaries keep taking off.
That's right.
We're not that far away.
That's right. You know the drills. Find something, buy it, support us. We'll love you. So, by the way, Pure Terror has 50 movies, it looks like.
Oh, my God.
So, okay, anyway. Inadvertently Susie sounding DVD release of the week. Mike.
I'm going to go with Feel Him Moving.
Oh, you took my...
Yeah, and just look at the cover on that one. I'm not going to say anymore.
Mac?
Boy, this is a tough one. Bedtime with Pooh.
That's... Oh, goodness sakes. That's very good. All right. The best I can come up with is Inside Hurricane Katrina.
There you go.
Okay. Now we're entering the final phase of the Friday filibuster. We are keeping it lean and mean and actually not very clean after bedtime with poo. That's for sure. That's right up there with Max's chocolate turkey, right? So.
Chocolate chicken, right?
Max's chocolate chicken, yes. It's a two-pack. Bedtime with Pooh, Max's chocolate chicken. All right, ambush topic time, and you know how it works. We'll just throw these random topics at each other and see if anything is hilarious. Mac, why don't you kick us off?
All right, well, I was watching Titan Maximum and I was thinking to myself, boy, you know, there actually have been a lot of, you know, shows and movies and cartoons over the years in which involve giant piloted robots. And then I thought, well, hey, that could be an ambush topic.
Giant piloted robots. See, it's the piloted that really adds a types of things.
Now, remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but G-Force Battle of the Planets, was it a, when they combined, was it a, it wasn't a robot, was it? What was it? Like a phoenix or something? What did they?
I think so, but that could count, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like five different people, right? Mark and Jason. And...
But they had the whole bird motif going on with all their helmets and stuff.
So. That's true.
So I'd say that counts.
Okay.
Mm, man, all right. Let's see. Piloted robots. Ugh.
Well, Dave, you did a bunch of the Power Rangers stuff, didn't you?
That's true. That's kind of easy, you know? Although, I'm going to try to think of something.
Was Ultraman a piloted robot, or was
it? No, it was just a man. Who's the man?
He was just a dude who grew really big.
Just grew really big. Okay. Big Man Japan, another one. He was grew really big. Man, okay, this is a real stretch. No, this is, I can't even do it that way. Yeah. I was going to go with a Brad Bird motif, but I'm missing on, like, there's the Iron Giant, but he's not piloted.
Right.
And then there's Ratatouille, where he's piloted.
Piloted.
Kind of a twist on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to just combine those two. Brad Bird is the theme, and... pretend that there's a rat controlling the Iron Giant.
Oh, there you go.
So
there's a movie right there.
So the pilot, you know, there's a pilot with the rat, and I can't remember his name. I can't believe how much I suck. What's his name?
Remy.
Remy, thank you. Yeah, such a hypocrite. Yeah, such a. Whoa! A siren?
Yeah, well, apparently Venice Beach is burning down because that's what they're all screaming to right
That
now.
May have been a giant piloted robot.
Yeah. Something's coming out of the ocean to attack Los Angeles.
All right, so I'm gonna be worthless and say that just combine the Iron Giant and Remy, just because they're two of my all time favorite, you know, family movies. So there you
Sounds
go.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you for giving me the leeway on that.
Sure. For mine, I went with Stuart Gordon's Robot Jocks.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's Robot Jocks.
Have you ever seen this movie?
I've heard of it, and I've like seen it on video store shelves.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that's always sitting there on the video store shelf, and no one ever takes it down, you know, right next to Gwendolyn and Eating Rubble. Yeah, Robot Jocks is they have like the gladiator-type battles with the giant robots with a guy inside piloting it. And, of course, our hero is named Achilles.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder, you know, it's like this sort of weird post-apocalypse world, and, you know, if they have all the technology to build these gigantic robots, shouldn't they be done, you know, used to, like, you know, build houses for all
this
stuff? And,
or maybe, you know, like sewage treatment, perhaps. Yes. You know? Let's get on top of waste removal instead, you know.
And, of course, but, you know, the big heartwarming finale, this is the era from which, you know, all the movies had to have the big E.T. ending at the, big E.T. moment at the ending, and the giant robot jock gives a big thumbs up, and the opponent also gives, and they give each other the thumbs up. The two giant robots do, and it's
a lot of Schwarzenegger and what
it's
was
hard.
It
yes, too? And this was before Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
where's that remake of Robot Jocks? That's what I'm gonna.
Yeah, hey, and I'm gonna actually give you a real answer now. It just occurred to me. How about? When Homer was participating in the BattleBots thing, right? He was driving around a robot. So, yeah. That's my intense.
And, you know, I think Rock'em Sock'em Robots is actually on somebody's development slate.
That's right. I remember hearing that, yeah.
Doing all the board game adaptations.
Oh, and how about District 9's mech suit? Does that count as well?
Oh, sure.
Nice. That's the one I'm going with.
I haven't seen that movie.
What?
You haven't?
I know.
Oh,
yeah, that really has to be a priority. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna end this podcast right now, Aaron.
Go watch it right now.
All right. Mike, what do you got? You got an ambush topic for us?
I'm hurting. I'm going to go with – there's been a kind of a resurgence of the B-movies. We did an interview with Roger Corman not too long ago, a conference call. There's been a lot of hype around Sci-Fi Channel has been investing money in – All they're basically doing is like a Stan Lee thing where they sit Roger Corman down at a table and say, all right, give us five good ideas, and then they go off and hire screenwriters to create movies for them based on his wacky ideas. So I'm wondering if there isn't potential to kind of bring that genre back in a bigger way. because everyone loves those kind of 60s, 70s really bad things, but done in a way that could be quite good. So come up with an interesting B-movie of your own design.
Oof. Oh, interesting. I like that. Being creative here. Okay, how about this? It's the future, and it's post-apocalyptic, and there's these gladiator games between giant robots. Actually, I mean, that I do love a good post-apocalyptic movie. You know what I mean? And that's excellent settings for a great B-movie schlock. You know, some of my favorite. Again, I've said it before. I dearly love Warrior of the Lost World. It's just unbelievably great and awful. And I did finally see the Mystery Science Theater 3000 takedown of it, which is fantastic. So I would if I had to make a B movie, it would definitely be set in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Mm-hmm. I think it would blend together all of my favorite elements from other post-apocalyptic movies, like the loner and the leather jacket. You know, and like some kind of conveyance, whether it's a muscle car or a police interceptor or a motorcycle. I'm going to go with a Segway. So he's on a Segway. Traversing the landscape, looking for an outlet. You know, desperately looking for an outlet to plug his Segway into. And then he battles the typical, you know, he has to go through bands of roving foragers and murderous bandits who are also on Segways. I mean, really boring action scenes, I think, but hey, it's something you've never seen before. The name of that B-movie is going to be Rolling Through the Wasteland.
Just a digression, is there any place besides Los Angeles that actually have people riding Segways?
Well, we do see them once in a while in New Hampshire, because Dean Kamen, the inventor, lives in Bedford, New Hampshire, and his office is in Manchester.
Huh.
So that you will see them occasionally. In fact, I saw the ultimate confluence of pathetic beta maledom in the mall the other day. It was a mall security guard, which is already pretty emasculating, riding around on a Segway, which is...
Well, you know, Chicago's Millennium Park, their security force are on Segways.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's the only place where I've seen them is the security guys at the mall here. They all drive them.
Okay.
Oh, I will see them in Manchester, though. You will see people just because I think, you know, the inventor is, you know, he's from Manchester. He lives around here, so.
We actually have a Segway store on Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, they...
You mustn't forget Joe Bluth and his Segway.
Bluth is absolutely.
It's true.
Well, he's the very definition of an alpha male, so it would be hard to reconcile. Anyway, there's my B-movie. Mac, what do you have?
Okay, well, in the sort of late 70s, early 80s, there were a lot of low-budget B-movies that were attempted space epics in order to try to cash in on Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Stuff like Star Force, starring the young David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's just brilliant, yeah. You hear the stories about what happened behind the scenes of that movie. It's the director didn't speak any English. Shouting all the directions to Hasselhoff and the other actors in Italian. They didn't know a word he was saying. So for my B-movie, definitely would go back to the attempted space epic. And because you can't really, you know, afford ILM-style special effects, so you just gotta have models based on, you know, whatever's lying around. So, you know, a hubcap, a golf club.
Right.
And have those things flying around through space, blasting at each other with optical effects. And you need, like, a really great B-movie star in it, like, as your Darth Vader-type character. You need, like, you know, Clint Howard is...
Great.
But not Darth Vader. He'd be, like, you know, Zarth Raider.
Yes, I like that.
And the young hero just, you know, finds some, you know, young, good-looking guy who can't act and cast him as the hero. And instead of the Force, he can use, I don't know, what would his power be?
All I know is his name is Lance Nova.
There you go. Good one.
And his power is...
like Nova, he can call upon the supernova.
Very good.
And, use the power of the sun to blast away
that's
the
good.
Enemies and blow up the golf club-shaped spaceship in the end.
Very good. That's green light. All right, Mike.
Well, no, I was thinking of, you know, going back to the kind of the classic Universal monsters and the, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon and the Invisible Man and Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, but taking kind of a modern group of comedians or people that we love. So like the Bluth family.
Yes.
So we'd have, you know, the Bluths meet Frankenstein or, you know, there's, I mean, Mitch Hurwitz is supposedly still writing this movie script for,
yeah,
for the feature film.
I believe it when I see it.
He could do a whole franchise of just, you know, taking them against, you know, big classic movie monsters. The Bluths meet Godzilla and, you know.
That's good. Anything to get more Bluth action.
That's right.
And I will say that one, you know, a positive about Numbers, Tony Hale had a couple of guest appearances. Very busty.
Oh, really?
He played a brilliant geneticist, but he's quirky and very Buster-like. So
he can grow himself a new hand.
Yes. Nice.
Did you see his turn on that Andy Barker Private Eye with...
No.
I missed that one.
So it was the Conan O'Brien show that... Now I'm completely blanking on his name. His sidekick.
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter, right. Was an accountant who got mistaken for a private eye. So he had opened his CPA office, and it was in the old building of a former private eye. So all of these clients kept coming in thinking he was a private detective. So and Tony was like the downstairs tenant who ran the video store, and there was this weird cast of characters, that, like the guy from the falafel stand, and they would all go out together and solve mysteries.
Wow.
It was really funny. It only lasted like, you know, 3-4 episodes again.
Right.
NBC didn't give it a chance, but there is a DVD collection. I think there was a total of 7 or 8 episodes. And I think Eric reviewed it for us.
Yeah, I think he's a fan of that show for sure. All right, well, we talked a little bit about toxic waste and how it had some surprise effects. So how about other examples in movies or TV where the after effects of, you know, like an encounter with like radiation or toxic waste or some kind of, you know, some kind of pollutant, we'll say, does not have has some surprise effects. Not what you would think, not what would happen in real life. So the example being, if you dumped a bunch of toxic waste on some turtles, it's doubtful they would turn into these, you know, surf jiving ninja warriors.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
There's tons of examples of this from the comics.
Okay. That's right.
All the Marvel comics from the 60s, they all got their powers from radiation. But going back even farther than that, one of my favorites is from DC Comics, The Flash.
Okay. How did he get his power?
He was struck by lightning right at the exact same time that all the deadly chemicals spilled all over him, and the chemical reaction of those two things happening at the same time gave him his super speed powers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, and what would have happened in real life?
Well, let's see. You got, you know, harmful liquid and electricity. That's not good. But, you know, years later, another writer came along and decided that that origin for the Flash was too convoluted. So he made up a new character who was like this cutesy little elf guy who was the one who secretly gave him his powers. And that was supposed to be better. The little elf.
And now it all has to do with the speed force.
That's right. Now he has the speed force, and it's weird.
Yeah, it's some
metaphysical thing.
Right, exactly. That he's tapped into.
All right, good. Mike?
Well, I was thinking you could take it into the adult entertainment industry.
Oh, please do.
So, you know, some kind of, you know, porn convention was met with some toxic spill, and all of these actors and actresses wound up having enhanced body parts, which then they could go off and make all sorts of new adventures out of.
It's like an explosion in the silicon factory.
Yeah.
Something in this whole batch of implants, saline implants, has some type of deadly chemical that reacts over time, and all of a sudden, these women start turning into zombies or something.
Yes. And that chemical is called Cialis. Well, probably my all-time favorite. And even eclipsing all like the radioactive spiders, which would probably just lead to an awful fever and a prolonged death. And the Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff is Superman 4, The Birth of Nuclear Man.
Oh, yes.
one of my science moments. So, you know, as you remember, Lex puts in some fabulous looking fabric and a strand of Superman's hair. And I don't know if he threw anything else in that concoction, but he tossed it into that whole nuclear warhead stockpile that Superman was so nice to throw into the sun. And then out of that came the ultimate male bimbo villain, Nuclear Man, with Lee press on nails and a glittery jumpsuit and a pretty tough to work around weakness. He can't operate unless there's direct sunlight on him at all times. So he's like, you know, he's like a solar powered, you know, watch. So he just covered up and is worthless. But Nuclear Man is one of my all time favorite awful villains. Man, Superman 4, I need to watch that again. That's just
And I have to thank you guys for digging up a painful childhood memory when you were talking about Superman 3 on Objection.
Oh yeah.
With regards to the woman getting sucked into the computer. Holy crap.
Did that screw you up too?
Yes, it did.
It was scary to me. It scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Hey, with her beady red eyes and like the semiconductors stapled to her face.
Well, and I think it was just her being dragged in, you know, being pulled into this.
That's right. That's true. Yeah.
She had a pretty brutal death scene, as I recall, too.
And I think she survived, right?
I thought she got like all electrocuted and stuff. That's the one I need to watch again.
Oh man, no, you don't. I'm gonna agree with you. So you yes, she did. Just so you don't have to watch it, Mac. Okay. I don't know which was more traumatic, that scene or I think we mentioned this in the Objection, or the skyscraper skiing scene. One of the, you know, that's equally awful. Well, anyway, that brings us to another conclusion of the Friday Filibuster. Good times. So thank you, Mac. Thank you, Michael, for joining us on short notice. I'm glad to have you aboard. FridayFilibuster @DVDVerdict.com is our email address. Facebook.com/FridayFilibuster is our fan page, so please check us out. Another way to get the podcast. And follow all the stuff on our Verdict family, DVD, Pixel, TV, and Cinema Verdict, all soon to be housed under one glorious roof.
That's very soon.
So that's coming up very soon. So anyway, with that being said, Mac, take us away.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.